So wood for good, with the number four in the middle, is regenerative forestry for people and nature. It's a local organisation, so we thought we would catch up and find out more about it. Sounds very interesting. Sebastian Klein is with us. Sebastian, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you going?
Very well. I guess the first question, and not to make it too tough, but so it's not just sort of PR for a logging company. Let's get that out of the road.
No, it's not just PR for a logging company. That's right.
So tell us what it's all about then, Wood for Good.
Look, essentially, we grow diverse forests on degraded land. So we use good Australian hardwood species. And we establish them in a way that essentially looks much like a normal plantation would initially, but we manage them to let the biodiversity in over time so that we've got high-value timber trees, sequestering carbon, and providing homes for wildlife.
Oh.
So do you actually sort of, is it going to make the land better in the future, or is it purely for the wood growth? Because hardwood presumably doesn't grow that fast, does it?
Well, both, in answer to your first question, both of them. So it is making the land better, and it is for high-grade timber as well. In terms of the growth rates of hardwood, we use some of the most select native species, particularly things like sugar gum and red ironbark, and we've been very impressed by some of those growth rates, and some of the science that supports that has them growing at similar rates to mountain ash or blue gums in their best territory. So we're pretty happy with the way the trees are going.
Yeah. I'm interested too, you said about the wildlife in there as well. So that's sort of, I guess, that is a part of the strategy, is it, to, get, not just plant life, but animals and bugs and whatever back in there as well, which obviously is healthy for the environment.
Yeah, absolutely. We've recently received a small environment grant from the Wettenhall Foundation, and we've had an ecologist in one of our sites, and he's discovered more than 200 species, 220 species throughout that site. And so we're looking forward to getting that report and being able to share that with the property owner and with the grantee or grantor, and to tell that story. That's absolutely part of what we want to achieve is a net increase in the wildlife that's there, whether that's the insects or the birds or the interesting plants that come in underneath, or even some of the furry creatures that we've captured on camera there.
So when you have this plantation type effort, would it fit on a piece of cleared farmland, or does it have to have a great huge area to have a plantation?
Look, the beauty of the regenerative forestry model is that we can sort of dial it up and dial it down for different purposes. So if we have a landholder with an acre or two who wants to put in, just enough for maybe their own woodlot or whatever it may be, then we're able to work with them. If we've got a property owner who's maybe, a couple of thousand acres and they want to put in, a significant commercial woodland, then we're able to address that as well. And within that, we can make that look more like a commercial forest make it look more like a native forest and sort of try and get those different outcomes from it within that.
I guess the other byproduct of all of this are jobs.
Absolutely. We've just put an ad out. We're building the team at the moment. We're looking for at least six people to be able to join our team. That's both thinning and doing silvicultural work, which is sort of maintaining the forestry elements, as well as processing firewood. So we're supplying sugar gum firewood throughout the region from sustainable sources. And you can actually trace that provenance back and even if you want to meet the guys who are working on it.
Wow, interesting stuff.
So there's a real mix there, but what's in it for you? Is there must be some commercial interest here?
Of course. I mean, one of the things that we think really works about this model, and particularly if you look at, some of the reasons to get out there and plant trees and get a bit of carbon in the landscape, is that it's commercially viable, is that it's scalable. So we're really keen to tell the story and to tell people that growing trees is profitable and to make sure that people who own property can see this as an option.
Yeah. I mentioned earlier, to quote The Lion King, it really is sort of like the circle of life, isn't it?
Absolutely. My colleague Ben often talks about it being something like circular forestry. We never clear fell, so once we've established those trees, we selectively thin. We make sure that all of the leaves and the branches that we leave behind are left to decompose on the ground, and they feed all of those insects and worms and they feed the birds, and then obviously there's other birds that hunt them as well. So yeah, it really is that chain of life, that circle of life that you're talking about.
Yeah, well, from this day forth, Sebastian, we will refer to you as Mufasa.
Look, I won't argue with it.
Good on you. Hey, listen, that's fantastic, mate. It's all local. It's wonderful. So thanks so much for joining us this morning.
No worries at all. Have a good morning.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. Sebastian Klein joining us from Wood for Good.